Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WTLC AM, W236 CR, Indianapolis. Keeping you informed with what's happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection, brought to you by Child Advocates, your voice, their future. On Praise, AM 1310, 95.1 FM.
And good afternoon and welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Tuesday, April the 16th. Our call-in number, 317-972-3008. Again, 317-972-3008 is the number to the show. Lots to get to today, including more on our upcoming celebration of Jerry Wade. It is coming up this Saturday, as we were talking about yesterday, right here on The Circle, starting at noon. And, of course, you are all invited. Joining us now with more on this upcoming community-wide, city-wide celebration are Dion Levingston, our regional VP, and Karen Vaughn, our operations manager and WTLC-FM's midday host. Welcome back to the show, Dion and Karen. Glad to have you both here with us. This is a good day.
Good
this
to be good here.
Day. Yeah.
Finally, it stopped raining. I just looked at the weather just to see what Saturday was going to look like. It's going to rain tomorrow, but you know, the Circle is just always a beautiful place to gather, and one of Jerry's favorite places. So, you know, the Circle it is.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? This has been a celebration that's been a long time coming. A lot of people have been asking about it, waiting for it, and it's finally here. And I'm glad that you two are here, because perhaps you can explain a little bit more about the Wade. I mean, it's finally arrived, and we're glad that it has. The day has arrived. But a little bit more about the Wade, and explain to folks why, you know, why we waited.
Well, I'll explain to people why we waited, and I will defer to Karen to explain what's going on this weekend.
Okay, that's fair.
So we really want to be respectful of Jerry's family and their wishes, right? And everyone, when people see our personalities and on-air talent as their family, which we like and we appreciate that. And Jerry's family really wanted to some time that they could get everything together. And it was an unexpected, unfortunate situation that we wanted to make sure they had the time that they were requesting to do what they wanted to do as a family, and then to put together a right way to celebrate Jerry and everything Jerry meant to the city. And instantly, we had several of our partners and community partners step up, from the Indianapolis Fair and Fairgrounds to Indianapolis Downtown to, I could just keep listing all of them that said, we want to be part of whatever you do. So we had to coordinate all that with those stakeholders that said we wanted to be part of it, and then coordinate that with the wishes of Jerry's family. And all of that's come together for what Karen can explain to you, which we'll be doing this weekend.
Yeah. So Saturday, you know, 12 o'clock, we will kick things off. The program will be short, but we will have some dignitaries come by and speak. And there's a special performance as well. And I'll keep that one under wraps, because, you know, we all like a little surprise. Yeah. But I feel that it will, I don't want to say move the room, but move the circle.
Okay.
And then to just having the dance party of all dance parties on the Circle in front of our building, and then doing the longest Soul Train line. To beat the record, we need 537 people. The record is 536. So we need 537. So just imagine that Soul Train music coming on. We used to watch it every Saturday. I love the part. I was just telling them in the studio that I'm sorry. So I was getting a little hype about it. You know, it's a sad time, but it's a celebratory time, and just really turning that into a celebration, because we know that's what Jerry would have wanted.
I was gonna say, it sounds like this is truly in the spirit of how he would have celebrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. And getting everybody up and on the dance floor and getting everybody involved, that's going to be great. 537 people, we can do that easily, right? I mean,
we can do that.
Yeah. So are we going to make it into the book, right?
We're going to work on that. Guinness World Book Record.
Guinness Book of Records. So, but yeah, this is just absolutely tremendous. And what I like most of all is that everyone is invited. People, you know, have been asking, they've been wanting to be able to show their respects, to celebrate, to do all of those things, to say thank you. This is your opportunity this Saturday starting at noon right here at 40 Monument Circle.
Yeah, and I think people really been wanting to say thank you because Jerry was that person who always mm-hmm. pitched in and was always out in the community doing things. Mm-hmm. I mean, always. So mm-hmm. it's good to be able to give something and honor Jerry at the same time.
Yeah. So any special instructions for folks coming down to the Circle Saturday, or just come on down and just join us? I mean, park where you can.
Come on down and join us. I think we've got
food?
We've got a couple food trucks that'll be out here. Who's out here?
Yep. Gibbs. Got tips? Did I say it right?
Yeah, hopefully they bring some sides too. I'm gonna tell y'all, if y'all haven't been by there at 21st and Emerson, the ribs and the chicken is fire, but their sides are fire. Tell
me, what's your favorite side?
Yeah.
I like the mac and cheese.
Course.
Yeah, it's an easy one.
I mean, y'all gonna come here.
Here we go.
Their baked beans are good too.
Yeah, we've had their food in here in the building a couple of times. Gibbs got tips. Yeah,
and the chicken is good too. Chicken is good even without sauce on it. Chicken is good. So
weather forecast, have we looked at the weather for Saturday?
So there's been some back and forth. Cloudy around 60 right now, but I've seen it as high as like 65.
Well, perfect.
So it's still nice weather. And it's partly sunny. It's not totally cloudy. I've been watching every day. Mm-hmm. So just come, bring your patience, bring your dancing shoes and your dance moves to go down the Soul Train line.
Yes, indeed. You know, I was talking to AJ. He's sitting right here being quiet now. But AJ, show Karen and Dion part of what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give them one of these.
Oh, the flashlight.
I'm coming down. Coming down with it.
Uh-huh. So you're practicing for your 15 seconds.
I was in the mirror last night for about 20 minutes getting it together, so I'm ready.
Yes, indeedy, indeedy. The Soul Train line. Well, thank you both so much for coming in and issuing a personal invitation to everyone, because I think that that's just the greatest thing. And hopefully this will give everyone the closure that they've been looking for, the closure that they want. I think it's gonna go a long way toward that.
Absolutely, and it's definitely needed. You know, again, as Dion mentioned, just totally unexpected, and we want to make sure that we uplift him and his legacy, because he's done so much for everyone from the Circle and beyond, reaching Indianapolis. So, it will be closure for many. Through celebration,
indeed. That's the best way to do it. Thank you both so much. Anything, Dion, you got anything else?
No. I'm just here with y'all.
any thoughts on last night's draft? Because Indianapolis has hit the nation.
So, you know, we have a Telemundo station here, and Telemundo corporately just did a piece on Caitlin Clark coming to Indy. When I'm sitting in my office. So I was in there. It was crazy. It was.
You were down at Gainbridge?
I was at Gainbridge.
17,000, right?
It was
way bigger. 17,000 people got tickets.
Yeah, well, they said in and out, they did 22,000 people. Because remember, they were on Bicentennial Plaza, too, and then they moved inside.
Yeah.
So, but it was crazy. I mean, it was crazy.
You know, they've got a name for it already. It's called the Clark Effect.
Is that what it is?
Wow. Yeah. And they were talking about, you know, at Dick's Sporting Goods, how they just had just wheelbarrows full of Caitlin Clark merchandise and all kinds of things, you know, for adults, children. They're just wheeling it out and hoping that, you know, they can keep it coming, because it's flying off the shelves like crazy. I mean, the financial windfall from all of this?
Fever, they said, averaged 4,000 tickets last year, and I know they've opened the balcony up for season ticket sales now because all the first two levels are full. So
that
just lets you know.
Well, AJ pointed out and reminded, I had seen it, but, you know, when's the last time you saw a Fever game on TV or more than two or three?
Yeah, they got 36.
Yeah, all but four. All but four of their games are going to be televised.
And we're looking forward for June 1st and June 23rd.
What's that?
They're playing the Sky, Chicago Sky.
The Twin Towers.
That's going to be a good one.
Because old girl.
Both girls.
Angel and Camilla.
Angel and Camilla.
Both went to
the Sky.
Went to the Sky. So it was an interesting trade up, or they moved some stuff around. It wasn't supposed to happen, but people were saying it could have happened.
Yeah.
If they got everything, if everything.
So y'all see last night, and this I gotta get these women down. And I was saying to my wife, so your one old girl came out in Prada, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she
one
was
came
in
out in Gucci and one came out in Louis. I'm like, go on, y'all. It's a whole different draft going on now.
They were dripping diamonds.
They were ready. I was like, go on, y'all.
Yes,
so I'm going to date myself. I'm going to date myself because every time I say this, all the AJs in the building look at me because they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. You getting ready to watch the next Stockton Malone.
Oh, yeah.
That's the next Stockton Malone. Because you're going to have to pick. Because if you go over, she's going to dump it down, and Aaliyah Boston going to get layups.
Mm-hmm.
If you go under, she's going to step out and hit a three.
Yep.
And Stockton and Malone, it was the simplest play for decades that could not be stopped in the NBA, right?
Except for that one guy.
Yeah. Well, the one guy.
Except for that one guy.
The one guy cost him like that one guy – up in New England cost us about three, four championships. That one guy cost them about three, four championships. So that will be, I mean, I think we're going to see that for decades.
You think it's going to gel that quickly?
I think we're going to see that for, well, because a girl from Iowa got drafted too, like 17th, that she did it with Martin, right? Wasn't that her
Kate
name?
Martin.
She got drafted like 17th, I think. And nothing against her, but she ain't Aaliyah Boston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it worked with her, she ain't Aaliyah Boston, because Aaliyah Boston a bad girl. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she always
That's the woman. Show up ready to play. So think about it, sports in Indianapolis, though, right now.
It's on fire.
You got some young dudes that are ready to do it with the Colts, and we gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
And you got young dudes doing it right now with the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got these two getting ready to – I mean, Indianapolis is set for the next decade in sports.
Flagship stars leading the teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, no one's really talking about their second-round pick at 15, Celeste Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, out of Ohio State. She is supposed to be a defensive wizard.
Yes.
So they didn't need any more offense. They got all the – you know, they had been very low offensive production over the years, ever since, I think, Tamika left. But I think they filled that gap now. But – another defender, they can't go wrong with it. I think the Fever drafted very, very last night.
Yeah, they're stacked. I mean, but if y'all remember, I'm going to date myself again, though. Them Tamika runs, city was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last championship we won.
It was.
Can y'all believe that? That's the last championship, period.
Yeah.
College, football, basketball, we haven't won anything. Now, Casey, I said this downstairs, and Casey on one of our sister stations said, well, the Notre Dame men's lacrosse team. I said, get out of here with that.
That's up there.
I said, get out of here with that.
Does Notre Dame even claim Indiana?
IU hadn't won. I mean, Indiana State ended up losing NIT. Purdue ended up losing. And that was a great run for both. To have two Indiana teams in the finals of both of those. IU lost a championship. I'm just trying to think. The Colts haven't been it. The Pacers haven't. The Fever, that Tamika Catchings Fever team, is the last major championship that has been won by any team in the state of Indiana. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Right. I guess so. I never thought about it that way. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And how long ago? Is that what, back in
2012, right? Yeah, wasn't it like 12? Yeah. I know they went again
time.
And lost.
Huh? Yeah, it's you're right. Like I like that. I like yeah. that. It's time.
It's been a while.
It's time for have all these runs. To be in a sports-centric city like this, to have all these losses for this long gets old.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And this is going to be a fire starter this summer. It's going to be where it all starts. We already got Caitlin. The NFL draft is coming up. We'll see if the Colts can make a move and get MH Jr. out here. That'll be something for the city.
And you think they're positioned to get him?
They're trying.
But they'll have to make something.
They're going to have to figure something out. I don't know. They're going to have to give up the world for that, because that's a bad boy, too.
And you know what? You got the world to give up for him.
Yeah. How hard do you think people are coming after Dawn Staley? Because I had heard that she could even become the first female to be the head coach of a professional.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is just my thought.
Okay.
Do you want – she is like was at Connecticut, right, who's still at Connecticut.
Gina.
Old girl was at Tennessee who Pat Summitt unfortunately passed away. Mm-hmm. And you just – you the king of your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say she would leave. I'm just saying they have got to be coming for her.
From
everybody,
sponsorships, from endorsements, from
she's loaded.
There's a number.
It's going to be
There's a number.
Slide the right number.
Well, yeah, you keep wearing $8,000 and $10,000 outfits on the sidelines.
Before they even come out.
And then they sell out, you know, when they are out. So,
I did go online and said, that's my budget. But those are some nice sneakers.
She did the championship rally in a row. So, you know, I mean. The number got to be a big number, because I'm telling you, she's in the SEC where they love sports.
And she's there.
Yeah. And she's in the SEC.
And that's probably her passion. Maybe that's just her passion. That is her place. Mm. You know, that's where she –
She's bigger than the football team in the SEC.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Y'all just follow that.
Don hits me as the Nick Saban type, who is more interested in growing the kids and helping them get to where they're going as opposed to their own success. Nick went and he tried it with the Dolphins and failed miserably. And then he went right back to college and found his mojo all again and went on that legendary Alabama run. I feel like Don would probably succeed in the NBA, but I don't think she'll get the same benefits out of it.
She actually talked about that as far as leading the girls. She said this team, she called it three words, expect the unexpected. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she talked about meeting them where they are. They weren't returning text messages. They were going to class late. They were just doing all the wrong things. And she says that she has a level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And perhaps, you know, you have never experienced that level or have been asked to go to that level. So she said to get them to the level that I needed them to, I needed to meet them where they are and build them up. And then look what happened in one season.
You know, the footnote to that was, and you're right, a level of excellence and a level of expectation.
Yes.
And the footnote to that was, she said that when she did meet them where they were, showed them the right way, fortunately, they caught on. She said, and that was the key right there, because had they not caught on, you know, they probably would have been out there in cyberspace or something. But anyway, she said, fortunately, they caught on, which she was even more excited about, because it was there all along.
They were freshmen.
It was there
all
along.
I mean, this to think, and we had a sales meeting downstairs, and I was taking the sales staff through this, because I'm working on a presentation I'm going to do, and when Caitlin Clark dropped almost 50 on Connecticut or the team before Connecticut or whatever, they asked Diana Taurasi about her becoming a pro. And Diana Taurasi said, well, you know, she's not going to play 18-year-olds anymore.
Yeah.
She's going to play grown-A women who this is the way they take care of their family and feed their family. This is their career. And there's levels to everything you do in life, right? And she said – not that she's not going to be a great player, but there's a new level she mm-hmm. has to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about, so this is what I was talking to the sales team today earlier about. So when you talk about those levels, right, it doesn't matter what you do or where you go. When you move into something new, mm-hmm. it starts again, right? Mm-hmm. Your level starts again. Exactly. Now, how long it takes you to move through that level mm-hmm. will depend on your skill set, right? And your knowledge. But so in the quadrants, there's like four quadrants. Unconscious incompetent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're doing, and you don't know what you know. You don't know what you're doing. You're mm-hmm. just stumbling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you move to conscious incompetent, right? And that's when you start to realize that you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And when I first got in this business, it took me about a year and a half before I got to conscious incompetent. That's when I realized all the stuff I didn't know. And at mm-hmm. that point, you either break or you learn, right? Because mm-hmm. it's
grow or you don't.
You,
yep.
Mm-hmm. You right there, you either break or you learn. And then the next one you move into is conscious competent. So when you move into conscious competent, you got to think about what you're doing, but you can do it. I might have to think about this is the step I need to do, but I know how to do it. And the next step from there, and it's like the arrows following you. The next arrow on that four is unconscious competent. Now you can do everything. You got mm-hmm. it. You can show up,
yeah.
click this mic. I can do everything. I can do it. It's not ironic that unconscious incompetent and conscious competent touch each other.
Mm.
Because when you get to that fourth stage is where you either have to reinvent yourself again or you fall backwards.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a continuing state. So it's going to be interesting. It's interesting we talk about those young ladies that moved from high school
mm-hmm.
where they were probably unconscious competent. They were the best players on the team. They mm-hmm. did whatever they wanted. They showed up whenever mm-hmm. they wanted because they were the best. And they moved to college and they became.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute.
The whole yeah. pyramid started again.
Started all over.
And, and it's just how long it takes you to move through that pyramid and what it takes for you to stay at the top of that pyramid. Because mm-hmm. you have to keep reinventing yourself. When they talk about like a business curve, at the top of that business curve, you have a choice. You either start going down or you can start another curve. Wow. So it's very interesting when yeah. Diana Taurasi said that about Caitlin Clark, but when we were having this discussion, I was like, dang, that's life. Doesn't matter whether you're a basketball player,
True.
Doesn't matter whether you're a business owner, doesn't matter. Mm. You're a doctor, you're a lawyer, doesn't matter.
Mm. Have you heard the saying, new level, new devil?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of that. Brian, you had a quick question or comment?
Just a comment of the statement I made yesterday, and Chicago Sky went out and did that. They got Cavender or whatever her name is, and Reese. And that's
Cardoso. They got Cardoso and Reese.
They got Cardoso and Reese. Mm-hmm. And that's, like I said, Lamar Parrish and Kevin McHale helped Larry Bird do his thing. And That's it in a nutshell, and I'm done with it.
You don't?
Well, okay. It's interesting that Caitlin Clark got the mass majority of press, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can see what happens when you stay in school as opposed to the one and done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can name Zach Edey. We can name two or three other male mm-hmm. college athletes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can name five or six women, and most of them got drafted last night, and a lot of them still didn't. Juju, Paige, there's still a whole bunch of them still that are back next year that'll be balling next year.
But aren't the declaration rules different for the women?
They are
in
different
college than they are for the men. So the women have to stay past their freshman year.
They're different, and a lot of these women, they said that Angel Reese made $1.8 million last year.
Oh,
right?
NIL.
Yeah.
Okay.
So her contract in Chicago ain't $1.8 million.
No, the maximum is what, $76,000?
Just about.
Well, they said Caitlin Clark made like $380,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Being the number one.
The
over a course of years. So
yeah,
$76,000
or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's why for the women that are staying, they stay longer, but this is real money for these. I mean, you talk about South Carolina. They selling out that stadium every time. Mm-hmm. I was selling out that stadium. Stanford's selling out that stadium. Mm-hmm. Connecticut's selling out that stadium. I mean, we talking real money.
And then you get NIL money, and then there's no real rush to get to $76,000 a year when you can make.
Not at all.
Make a million. So that's a good point. That's a really good point. So,
woo.
Well, we shall see. We shall see what her curve looks like. You know, Aaliyah Boston did it seamlessly, effortlessly, and arose to the Rookie of the Year. But look at where I got to say it. Look at where she came from, though.
Yes.
I mean, she was beyond prepared, just like every person that plays for Dawn Staley is beyond prepared.
So it's interesting. I said to my wife last night that it's interesting that in that the level that those dominant Connecticut, South Carolina, Stanford, and Tennessee. And now, oh, girl, at LSU, because she's been a couple different places. But that five just put out, and you watched the drafts last night. The level, not only do they get the talent, they coach and teach the talent,
that's
which Sean
true.
Was
that's
saying
true.
Earlier.
They develop it, yeah.
They
yeah.
develop the talent, and you watch it in front of you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Well, this is, you're right. This is an exciting time. Exciting for sports, and definitely exciting for us as a Radio 1 Indianapolis family coming up this Saturday, because everybody's going to enjoy, and we're all looking forward to Saturday on the Circle.
Please come down and join us as we celebrate a life taken far too soon. Indeed. And Jerry. But we will have a party, because you know Jerry wanted to have a party. So we're going to have
yes,
a party.
All the time. Absolutely. Indeed, indeed.
What all time? Right. What time should people get down there?
12 noon.
12 noon.
12 noon. We're starting 12 at 12:01.
12:01.
12:01, not CP time. 12:01.
There's none of that.
No,
it's
no.
On time time.
It's going to go
it's
right,
on time right, time.
On time time.
It's going to go off right at noon. Okay. All righty. Thank you all so much. Appreciate you. And we'll be back with more Community Connection right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby on Praise AM 1310, 95.1 FM, Indy's Inspiration Station.
And we're back with Community Connection, recapping our first segment. Again, this Saturday at noon, on time at noon, our celebration of the late, great Jerry Wade is going to be taking place right here, 40 Monument Circle. We need 537 people to beat the world's longest Soul Train line record. 537 folks. We need them. We need you. We need you down here. But come down anyway, just to say hi, to say thank you, to remember, to enjoy, and to celebrate, because it is going to be a celebration as he would have had it and as he would have asked us to do. So right here, Indianapolis Station's Radio 1, 40 Monument Circle, noon on Saturday, April the 20th. Any and all are invited. You are all invited. So there's that. Also, we talked a little bit about, we talked a lot about the draft last night. And as expected, during the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever with the number one pick drafted Caitlin Clark out of Iowa. You heard us talk about that. That ended all the speculation that they were going to, you know, do something last minute and what have you. So, but there's another aspect to the Caitlin Clark story that I wanted to kind of delve into. And now that she's here on the home team, there was a caller yesterday, AJ, that made a good point, because a lot of people were, you know, comparing and contrasting along racial lines, that, you know, perhaps her coverage was unfair or weighted because she was white. Okay, let's just put it out there, because she was white. And one of the callers had said, you know what? She's with us now, or she will be. You know, by this time today, she's going to be with us now. So can we let's get past all that and you know, let's come together as a team and cheer her on so that we can all win. The fact that the unevenness, I guess, so to speak, has been pointed out so many times. That I just thought it might be a good time to kind of air it out now that she is officially here. And here now with us is the always excellent Dr. Tommy Brown. Dr. Brown, as I was talking to you earlier, you've seen it all, you know, with your travels, your ministry, the radio show, all kinds of things. And I just wanted to get from your perspective, and I'm sure you got a lot to say about it, from your perspective, how do we navigate this landscape, especially now that she's on our team? You know, this is all on our team. Now, before, or, you know, in previous times, when people have felt that athletes, professional athletes, college, you know, whoever, got preferential treatment because of their race, but it seems to be, well, anyway, I've got 50-11 questions here, so I'm gonna bring you in. Come on in, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
Okay, I'm doing fine. I listen to you, Dion, Karen, all of you all, all the experts on following.
We're just fans.
Not just, and AJ also.
Uh-huh.
But here's what I want to lock in, and then and you can spin off of it, and
okay,
AJ
okay.
can too.
Okay.
What you are putting to your audience, a reality of a key word that I use in regard to what goes on in America, think on this word, enterprise.
Hmm?
Enterprise.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
What you saw and what I saw.
Uh-huh.
The enterprise, the enterprises of number one, basketball, athletics, the enterprise of media, the enterprise of marketing.
Ah.
And then I also recognize, and here's where you can grab it, the enterprise of racism and ideologies of marketing.
Wow.
Are okay. you there?
Yep, yep. You know what? They've got a name for it already, Dr. Brown. It's called the Clark Effect.
Okay. And enterprising.
Yeah. Dollar signs right after the Clark Effect.
Thank you. Now, think on these three words and include AJ on this. Concept, C-O-N-C-E-P-T. What is the concept? What shall be the conduct? And what is the conclusion? What is missing or what is relevant is the conduct of enterprises which have a strong flavor of racism in it because racism makes money. Are you there?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is we do not have really a good moral compass on how we market and how we reveal the process of money making. The old saying, crime does not pay, is that true? Crime does pay.
Okay.
It's very evident. You've got a legal system, and I'll just use something people can recognize. The whole incident around the former president, Trump. It's making money because the marketing technique has its own kind of ethics, its own kind of behavior. So coming back to your point of this whole dynamic of what's happening in regard to Sister Girl. As I watched her, she had, in watching her through TV, her whole behavior to me was very humble. She seemed to be a humble spirit. Am I missing something? I saw in her, she loves her basketball. That was her choice. She chose to love it. And guess what the flip side is? She loves her choice.
Okay.
If you love something and then you are in it, remember you got to love your choice. A lot of us love to make a choice, but do we love the choice after we're in it?
Okay. Do we love the the choice?
Do you love the choice? You were born, AJ and Tina. You chose to love yourself. Do you love that choice you made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get where I'm coming from?
Get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, in the marketplace, in the media place and space, in the enterprises you choose, and there are some situations I could share that there were some personalities that I knew in the West Coast who became very popular in the movie industry years ago, and I had chances to talk about them. They loved being in the movies, but they really were disgruntled about the choice that they made because of what the ethics was inside that.
Inside that industry.
Became a superstar.
Yeah.
Being that superstar, he or she had to do a lot of evil things
mm-hmm.
to herself and to himself and to others.
Okay, I got that.
What is the ethics mm-hmm. of your success? Now, coming back to that young lady who has proven via observation and behavior on a basketball court,
mm-hmm.
seemingly had some good support by her family, which in my opinion is of a rural tradition. I don't see that family coming across as the bourgeoisie. I see them as good old normal people in Iowa
mm-hmm.
that taught her. The girl says she started at 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she just loved the basketball. And evidently for her, loving basketball, basketball loved her back.
Mm-hmm.
You all have some songs. We have some songs. I loving you and loving you back.
Yeah.
She made the choice, and I know right now she loves the choice she's made. Now, she's in a market system, an enterprising system. When you all were talking a few minutes ago, you all were describing various dimensions of the enterprise. And what was the bottom line? M-O-N-E-Y, money.
Mm-hmm.
Add on to that, with that money, there is also the temptation and the desire to acquire power. So what you got going on, racism, and I'm seeing it across, I'm seeing it all over the globe, racism is a enterprise that is constantly being reinforced within our enterprises of competition, entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Racism is even in our religion, and it's an enterprise that creates not cooperation but competition among human species.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that so many African Americans, while probably quietly or maybe not so quietly, appreciated her talent, felt as if her attention in the media and the coverage that she got was uneven, and it was uneven as a result of the fact that she was not African American, even though the game that she was playing and the game that's bringing her all of this attention and, you know, obviously making her rich is a game dominated by African Americans. And so, yeah, so there, you know, that theme has been running throughout her career. And it didn't. So I even made the observation. I didn't watch SNL Saturday Night Live, but they said she was on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. AJ, you were telling me that.
Yeah.
And I usually winners you know, winners are celebrated, you know, not the losers. Usually the video after the ball game, they follow the winners into the locker room.
You're correct. Winners.
And so the fact that there was this one Caucasian who had excelled in a sport dominated by African Americans, the fact that one Caucasian had risen above so many of the others, that became the preoccupation, which
you
is what
correct.
So many people have pointed out. So, no. Okay, go ahead.
That's where you all are hitting. I'll use the term. You're hitting the nail on the head of what I call economics. What is economics, Tina? It's called what? Production, distribution, and consumption. Each one of those entities is an enterprise driven by the ultimate end of success in money making. Now, my dad told me many years ago, and some of the old men scholars said, Brown, we were the production slaves. Now, Brown, Tommy, they would call me Tommy, we're the consumer slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And as you all have just described, all of the enterprises are owned not by blacks, but the consumers and the actors are still prevalent. Yes, black is achievable in that whole operation of performance. When Jackie Robinson and Johnson, a boxer, we were able to realize that we can succeed, but we were not owning the companies nor the corporations, nor do we own Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are consumers. We are consumer slaves. And again, bringing it back to the point of what you're saying about her getting, Sister Girl getting a lot of publicity. Indiana, Indianapolis, and its Midwest, is the economics is connected. Chicago, Indianapolis, Ohio, Michigan. It's a connection controlled by a power base of what I would say, and nobody's going to like it, of white racist entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I mean... Let's go to the phone lines. We'll let folks, you know, we'll let folks soak that one in. Okay, Jeff, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Tina, AJ?
Good.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? And you know, just to take, it's not so much racism that is profitable; it's white supremacy. Now, let me.
Okay.
You know, and racism is a component.
I was going to say they're one and the same in so many ways.
But I like that word. I haven't used that. If I'm going to start using it, I'll probably be in trouble.
No, you won't
be
in trouble.
I mean, you know, white supremacy is just a philosophy. You know, racism is just an action, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you talked about Jack Johnson. This all kind of going back to Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion. You know, that's where the term the Great White Hope came from, because you had this black boxer annihilating his predominantly white component. And they were looking for this messiah figure to stop this black man. Then let's take the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And we all know who's in charge of Germany in the 1930s, the so-called master race. Hitler hated Jesse Owens and Ralph Metcalf because it blew his whole theory about white supremacy out the water. You know, yes, white supremacy is a business. We see it every day. You know, LBJ once said, the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson once said, if you could convince a poor, illiterate white man that he's superior to a Dr. Brown, to a AJ, to a Tina Cosby, you can take him to the bank every time. You'll pick his pocket. And we see that with Trump. But the white supremacy is a grip. It's a big business. It made Candace Owens very rich to bash the black community. Made her a very wealthy nation, a very wealthy woman. You know, I started the interview with Caitlin, and yeah, she came across as very humble. She heaped a lot of praise on to her future black teammate. And, you know, that said a lot about her. But the reality is that she's in a market, Indiana, And, you know, she's going to make a lot of money because she's this messiah figure in a league that is predominantly dominated by African Americans. So, you know, yes, I mean, the whole, you know, this all goes back to Jack Johnson.
Yeah. So my question then is, because, you know, everyone has been making comments about it and you know, observations, things of that nature. But now that it's here, what, Dr. Brown, historically has happened when it, you know, is in a community and everybody has to, or do they have to? I mean, do people just have to drop the comparisons and start cheering for the home team, or should they, or, you know, what do they continue to keep a close eye on what they perceive as unevenness? I mean, how has that historically played out? Huh?
Well, the unevenness is pretty obvious. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I mean Stevie Wonder can see it. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to root for her. I'm going to support her as well as her teammate, okay? But the reality is, when you go to the suburbs and you look at some of these average white kids, what do they listen to? They're listening to Jay-Z and Tupac, okay? But who's the people in the studios producing this? They don't look like me and you. So, and then when you see these black parents, they see their kids with pictures of Michael Jordan with LeBron in their bedroom posters, you know, that's to a lot of white folks, that's very concerning. You know, thank you. Then Larry Bird comes on the scene, and you had the whole Larry Bird, Magic Johnson rivalry, Boston Celtics and the L.A. Lakers. Mm. I mean, that was really motivated by race back in the 80s. So,
yeah,
you know,
but undertone. It was the undertone because it's in professional sports, exactly. So people don't necessarily voice as vociferously as they in sports as they do in other, you know, particular arenas. And I've got a feeling that this may be a similar situation. And, you know, I don't know who her nemesis would be. Who do you think the nemesis might be, AJ?
For who?
Caitlin Clark.
For Caitlin, well, the media has made
Angel Reese her.
Exactly.
Yeah, but apparently those two have buried the hatchet. In fact, I don't know. They never did have a problem, and it was really interesting because when Angel Reese was announced, you know, when she was picked, Caitlin's father stood up and gave her a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
They understand that their careers are linked to each other, and it's sports. You know, you have to have somebody to test you.
Yeah.
Somebody who's going to take you to that point. And to be honest, them getting together and having that moment last year was a canon moment for women's basketball as a whole because it made the world care.
Yeah. But, you know, Caitlin talked as much smack as Angel did, you know, with the gestures and all kinds of other things. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't amplified to the point that it was that Angel Reese did it. So therein lies the rub. But it may be Clark Reese. Who knows? But it's sports.
But
yes, go ahead.
Just here recently, you know, Hank Aaron. They were celebrating Hank Aaron. You know, all the death threats, the anniversary of him breaking
Babe Ruth's
leg.
It was unbelievable.
You know how many death threats Hank Aaron got for just pursuing Babe Ruth's record?
He had to have security, yes. It was horrible.
He had security.
Yeah.
Because how dare this black man go to break the record of Babe Ruth?
Yeah, that's true.
How dare you?
It's true. I saw that. That was a remark. I had seen, you know, some documentaries and many documentaries on that prior to, you know, the most recent anniversary. So Dr. Brown, is this now going to transcend race, or will race still be an undercurrent here with us?
I'll piggyback off of Jeff. White supremacy is going to always be around.
Mm-hmm.
And this experience should be a motivation to people of consciousness of seeing humanity as a cooperative experience, that the color of my skin does not take away our cooperative humanity. But you got to understand that the American development and its constitution was built on what I call a colonized racist religion and based on a constitution that, and I'll use Jeff's word now, white supremacy.
Yeah.
Because the Constitution had leveraged the opportunity through the various European nations to legitimize slavery. And to legitimize slavery, you had to take a group of human people of black color and made them less than human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still alive within the psychic of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeff may have a different viewpoint of that.
He may. He may. I think he hung up. But, but there's no denying the excitement in what is now the majority culture, that you have a majority culture athlete excelling in a game that is so overly clearly dominated by the non-majority culture. So that's where the excitement lies, and I think that that's where the excitement is going to remain. Now, whether or not it wanes, as you know, throughout her career or what have you, or that it ramps up to the as you were saying, Bird Magic level, I don't know, you know, the fact that it's right here in our backyard, it's just kind of interesting where we go from here, where Hoosiers, you know, Indianapolis natives go from here.
It's an economic enterprise now. This is a successful economic enterprise that also will bring in more jobs, be you black mm-hmm. or white.
Mm-hmm.
And as I listen to...
Well, economics, I mean, have you seen the video of Dick's Sporting Goods and all of the racks and racks and racks of Caitlin Clark?
And you know what's interesting? I'll tell a little story and you'll say, no, you didn't. It was back in 1963. I had to come back to Indianapolis to do some speeches on what was going on down south and my experience with the Ku Klux Klan in North Carolina. And in Mississippi, a very sharp, older black man pulled me to, I don't forget where I was, but he said, Brown, come, I want to talk with you a little bit. And he was clean. I mean, the brother was dressed. He was driving a Cadillac. And I said, okay, I mean, I'm Tommy Brown. So he said, I want to have a chat and conversation with you. He said, let me tell you about the word nigger. I said, what about it? He said, that word emerged out of the word of Niger, N-I-G-E-R, of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that word, they couldn't say it Niger, they say nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And and I said, oh, I said, what are you telling me? He said, listen here. He said, you know what I do? And I looked at him because I knew he looked like he looked money-like.
Okay.
And he said, I make the robes for the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh.
And I looked at him, he said, that's what I do. And he said, all of the robes that you see, I produce it for them.
Mm.
And he lived in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
He was an entrepreneur. He had an enterprise out of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the other side of what I call the ethics. Your oppressor can be you can enterprise over on oppression, just like crime does pay. The Ku Klux Klan did pay back into a black circumstance of economic development.
Mm. Wow. Wow. You know what? If both of you could hold, we got a real quick break. We got to get in here. And then Dr. Brown, Kevin has a question for you.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
All right, listen, man, if you're a fan of sports, then you probably should not listen to I Hate the Homies podcast. If you're a fan of entertainment news, gossip, current events, funny, and laughter, you should probably not listen to I Hate the Homies podcast.
Rock T, Super Dave, and myself, Griff, are three sports dudes talking about everything that you love. So don't listen to I Hate the Homies podcast. Celebrate our history through conversations and stories on the Urban One Podcast Network. Go to UrbanOnePodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
WTLC AM, W236 CR, Indianapolis. Keeping you informed with what's happening in and around Indy.
It's Community Connection.
Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future.
On Praise, AM 1310, 95.1 FM.
And we're back with Community Connection, 317-972-3008. Dr. Tommy Brown, we were talking about the Clark effect, so much so that is now in effect right here in the city of Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark having been drafted by the Indiana Fever and will be here, my understanding is, tomorrow to meet the media, AJ. I was one day off. Mm-hmm. But they said she's going to meet the media. The season starts on the 14th of May. So, again, it's pretty. Did you tell me that yesterday?
Yeah, they move pretty quick.
Pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, just the uneven treat that a lot of people have been talking about. I just wonder how much of that is going to remain here once the ball is tipped and the season gets underway and folks start playing. Hopefully, start winning. We'll see. Dr. Brown has been giving us some very good points. Kevin, you wanted to talk to Dr. Brown. Go ahead. How are you?
Yeah, I got a comment everybody. There's no way how I feel about the situation. I just want to kind of play the devil's advocate and kind of look at it from a different perspective. My philosophy is some things are black and white, some things are in color. I think this is more color. It's not clear cut. I kind of use the analogy, even when Steph and them were winning their championships, if they beat LeBron, the camera's going to follow LeBron off too to get his reaction too, because he's the best player. He's the face of the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think she was the face of women's college basketball, and so all of it is not just black and white. She had to come correct. She couldn't have been scoring 10 points a game, 3 assists, and they put her on a pedestal. So her gameplay had to mimic some of her height. She mm-hmm. had to bring it. So that's just kind of my take on just a different perspective of it. Is it really all racism, or is it she was the face of the league? So, yes, we're going to kind of cut to her. She's going to get the commercial, just like LeBron. LeBron's definitely going to get the commercials. Even though Steph has been winning, LeBron's still going to get his commercial because he's the face of the NBA. Is it not black and white? Is this kind of a color TV, not just a black and white TV? There's different, more moving parts than just saying – because she's white, she's getting all this publicity.
You know what? I can see some of that. I can see some of that. Yeah.
He's very correct, Tina. He's very correct in his observation. Yes, she is talented.
She produces. She produces.
Yeah. She's not talented because she's white.
She's talented, yeah.
Because she's human.
Mm-hmm.
Talented. Because we're all human beings, but the Enterprise plays with what we call the playbook of competition and develop fear using race as that kind of mechanism that's so entrenched in what I call the history of America's development. But if you travel across the globe, when I'm in South Africa, I saw how that took place because it was, again, about taking charge of the natural resources. Now we take charge of the natural resources of the talents and the skills of a human being, and we play a race card.
Yeah, there you go. I definitely agree with you, Dr. Brown, on that aspect of it. A lot of things about money. I know some people, they didn't want them to pick her up, the Fever to pick her up. But it's about money. You look at Jerry Jones, they haven't won a championship in, I think, 25 years.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, if he's not number one or number two far as football teams and revenue and TV ads. He puts butts in seats. He gets the big TV ads. He gets the big time. They're going to play every Thanksgiving. They're going to play all the holidays. They're going to play the prime time. And now, if I'm not mistaken, you guys said 90 to about 92% of the Fever games are going to be on TV.
Yes.
It's about dollars. Yeah. I don't even know if they care about winning a championship. They want dollars. Championships to come, they want them dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pay butts in seats. I mean, look at Dick's, like you said. Dick's is selling out. They wouldn't have sold anybody else's jersey out. I don't care who they would have picked in this draft. They would not have been selling out like they're selling out with her. So a lot of times it's not just about the championship. A lot of times it's about money. It's about the dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dollar brings power.
Well, we all know that. Yeah, the dollar.
To be totally honest, I don't hate white people at all, but I found myself rooting against her because I wanted the sisters to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like Dr. Brown said, That's the fabric of America. That's what our foundation is built on. You can tear the top of the house down, but that foundation's still there. We're going to have it. I had a guy tell me, he said, hey, anytime we travel overseas, do you say you black or do you say you're American? You say you're American when you're overseas. America's planted that seed over here where color is everything. It's embedded in us. So like I said, I found myself rooting for the sisters. And then I was around people that was rooting for her, and I felt in my heart of hearts that they was rooting for her because she was the lily white girl. It's in our fabric. I don't think these people are racist. It's in our fabric. It's the home team.
Yeah, some people genuinely appreciated her talent, white or black, whether she was white or black, and they genuinely just, you know, were in awe of what she could produce, what she could do. And I have to say, how many times, AJ, did we watch her play and you just like, wow.
Yeah, you just kind of throw
you
your
just kind of shook your head. You know, the SMH really applied, you know, like, man. You know, she could take people off the dribble at half court and hit it. You know, come on. That's...
She stretched the game like Steph did. She stressed the game. I don't know if it's going to equate to the WNBA, but that women's college sport, she definitely stressed the game. It wasn't no, I check you when you come across half court. It was, I better check you when you come across half court. So she stressed the game. She made it exciting. Yeah. The ratings show that she made it exciting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you got to have a villain to make it even more exciting. It's no different than Muhammad Ali and anybody else.
Yeah.
You always got
counterpoint. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, Floyd was the highest grossing athlete. It wasn't just because people want to see him win. A lot of people want to see him lose. It's right about 50-50.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point. Good point, Kevin. Good point. Thank you. And Dr. Brown, he made a good points. All good points, yeah.
Sister girl is tough. That you can't take it from her.
No. Don't try it. Yeah, she, you know, even on her worst game, I think she didn't have a very good game against the Indiana Hoosiers down in Bloomington when they shut her down. Now shutting her down, she gets 24 points, right?
Yeah,
shutting her down. That's a career game for a lot of people. You know, and the team lost. But you know, when you can kick out 24 points and you've been shut down, come on.
Men or women.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Tina and Jay, it'd be good for you to just interview her in respect to her humanity. Just her humanity and how she sees, not the game, but how she sees human beings, all complexions and all cultures.
Yeah,
you will get an answer of her humility, because even when they interview her and they come at her, you all are in the enterprise of interviewing and analyzing. But Sister Girl seems to hold enough humility to make it hard for her to be tricked into competitive relationships outside the basketball court.
Yeah, indeed. Mr. Russell, you have a final question. Mr. Russell, you can't get on the last
one. Not a final again.
We've been holding Dr. Brown for a while, so we got to let him go.
Good points. I just wanted to say that, you know, this situation about race, which really is ethnicity, is really, I think, has to be dismantled. I think it's being dismantled. I think we have good examples with South Africa and when Nelson Mandela was released and what happened after that. You know, if they can do it, we I'm sure we can do it. But I think that more than one thing that we have to keep in mind is that these are young people we're talking about. These are young players.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like old heads talking about them. You know, I think we have to look at the fact that when George Floyd was murdered, I think a lot of people were surprised at how many people protested that of all races. I think a lot. I think it really was like a point of definition, if you want to call it that. That things are really changing, and I think we, in this country in particular, I think we what I call American apartheid, which, you know, we've always had people of goodwill of all races. I mean, you look at the Underground Railroad, for instance. You know, there were people of all colors participating in that, even in Indiana, good old Indiana, that Indiana had one of the strongest foundations for the Underground Railroad. So I think the thing that we should keep in mind is that, yes, we've had a poor history in terms of American apartheid, but I think it's changing. And as a matter of fact, I think in terms of this election presidentially coming up, I think it's going to be a showdown between what is going to happen, you know, in terms of the future of the country. And I think it's one thing that President Biden's talking about when he talks about we're fighting for democracy, as opposed to his opponent, he's talking about we want to go back. I think that's, you know, I think that's a key issue. But I think in the final analysis, we are talking about, in sports, we're talking about young people, and we have to keep that in mind. The next big thing I think people have to worry about is what's happening between the Palestinians and the Jews. You know, I think that a lot of people don't
Iran in there. Throw Iran in there.
Yeah, even Iran and, you know, Saudi Arabia and, you know, they're Muslim country, but they're a Sunni Muslim, and Iran is Shiite Muslim, and they have big differences.
So, well, you're talking about the Middle East. That's a whole nother dynamic, guy. That whole Middle East, bro.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of people don't realize these are Abraham's, you know, they are his grandchildren that fighting each other, you know, and Abraham really came from Syria.
Yeah, well, that's just,
a lot of people don't understand that.
A guy just say came from what? The Mesopotamia. That's a whole nother culture of beauty versus the culture of the Nile River of Africa, the Mesopotamian and Tigris Euphrates.
Absolutely.
You got to understand all of them into that.
Absolutely. But I think one thing we all realize is that the modus operandi, unfortunately, around the world is divide and get over. So you talk about economics, especially, you know, money.
Yeah.
And I have a thing that I say, well, things are getting better because the cosmetic companies are finding that suntan lotion can be used for all people, not just people that are I think that's why things are maybe getting better.
They might be. But as far as the Middle East, I you know, just when you think it can't get any worse or what, I don't know if it's ever been good there, Dr. Brown and Mr. Russell.
You're correct. It has not been good. It has not been good when you began. You're correct. Tina, your intuition is telling you correctly. It has not been good. Even when you study the Old Testaments, what I call First Testament, Second Testaments, you are listening to the history of conflict in the Middle East, even though they give you little names and places. But when you study that First Testament, and then when you get a piece of the Quran, then when you get a piece of what we call the Greek historian Josephus, and that whole Greek Roman Empire, what was always going on? War.
What is it good for?
Absolutely. Yeah, so.
Nothing.
Yeah. All right.
But I think we need to get behind the fever with Caitlin Clark. You know, I think, you know, like some of the interviews I've heard her say, she said her idols were like Maya Moore. Maya Moore.
Her all-time idol is Maya Moore, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she seems to have her head on straight. I think one thing we need to look at in terms of the sport, Chicago had a pretty good draft.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, so I think this is really going to be good for women's basketball.
They got a really good coach there now, and they've got the twin towers of basketball, I guess you could say, with Reese and Cardoso. So they're the team to watch out for. They really are the team to watch out for, including the Fever.
Don't forget the Olympics coming up.
Yeah, they lit the torch today, didn't they, Mr. Russell? Didn't they?
I think they did. It's been advertised that they did. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think they did.
Let us hope that we can have the Olympics and the world doesn't, you know, have to disregard them this year with all the violence going on around the world.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. All righty. Well, thank you, Mr. Russell. So, so Dr. Brown, in conclusion, and based on your experience, does this level off once the ball tips off for the season, or do you think it still simmers under the surface?
No, I think I'll give it to you this way, Tina. It is an opportunity for us to bring, bring a spirit of love, bring a spirit of nonviolent thinking and nonviolent reaction. Bring a spirit of not wanting to violate, but wanting to embrace and care.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in that spirit and bring in what I would call methodologies, even in reporting, that gives a kind of consciousness of, a easy word, of peace and love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a couple of wins under the belt and all of that's going to come, you know, all of that will come into play. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the bottom line is there's, like Dion said, the last professional sports, any kind of a championship that's come to the state of Indiana, including the city of Indianapolis, was the Fever. So they, you know, maybe they're carrying, we're putting our hopes and dreams within the Fever that they can do it again. They certainly have all the pieces in place. And like I said, one of the things nobody's really talking much about, I think they had an excellent draft, especially with getting that little defender who just basically is nothing but she's a defensive specialist, a defensive wizard from Ohio State. She's very good.
Yeah, it's all looking very up for them. It's Celeste Taylor. It's going to be a good team. We're going to have a good team. I think they're ready to do some work. You know, I'm ready to see it. I'm happy for the WNBA. I'm happy that they're getting all this attention.
And just maybe Tina and AJ, maybe these women athletes can become the Messiah to America.
Very well could be. Very well could be. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for your time. Sure, always appreciate you. We always appreciate it.
I appreciate my lessons and my learning from you all.
Okay, indeed. Hey, I tell you one thing they're going to be good at doing, and that is setting fashion trends. I mean, did you notice the knockdown gorgeous fashions that were on display last night? I mean, they could have walked the red carpet in Hollywood.
They would do better than the ones we've been seeing.
I am telling you, they were ready. They were clean. So, good for them. They were very elegant, very glamorous. So, all righty, Dr. Brown, thank you so much. We'll talk with you. Oh, who do you have on? I don't ever want to forget. Oh. Who do you have on this weekend? What show are you going to have for everyone?
I'm going to be kind of following up with what's going to be taking place Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, because not too long after your show, we're going to have our celebration right here on the Circle.
Try to get off the Circle before I can't get on it.
Well, you may as well just stay and join that long soul train line in AJ.
Yeah, we're going to need you out there, Dr. Brown.
Oh, no. Y'all ain't going to do that to me.
All right. So you don't know who you're going to have this weekend?
Not really. Yet. We're going to kind of bring up what you all have laid out about Jerry Wade and the significance of that. We will probably, and I'll have to touch base with Sparkle Sox, else we're going to bring up. I can let you know probably before the week out. This is just...
Okay. I was just giving you a chance to go ahead and advance, you know, your show, because we want people to watch you, good grief, I'm still on TV, to listen to you as well Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on the light, on Praise. My goodness, that one's a blast from the past. Praise AM 1310, 95.1 FM. So.
Yeah, okay.
All righty. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you all.
Okay. And we'll be back with more Community Connection right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby on Praise AM 1310, 95.1 FM, Indy's Inspiration Station.
And we're back with Community Connection. And regarding all of that, you know what I say? What do they say in baseball? Play ball.
Play ball.
Play ball.
Yeah.
Play ball. We'll get in our feelings later, but play. Everybody get in their feelings. Play ball. So congratulations to the Fever. Again, I think they drafted well. I think that we're going to be well on our way, and I'm really happy for what's, you know, looking pretty good for that franchise right now. Mm-hmm. So AJ, your thoughts, your final reflections in on all of it.
I'm ready for the season to get started. I'm ready for the season to get started. I'm looking forward to it all around. I think the W is going to have a historical year. I think this is going to be one of those years where they actually start to break out. And maybe we can get these women some better pay and get this league some more money, some more revenue. It's some superstars coming out now.
I've often wondered how in the world can they pay these women so little. And it's absolutely criminal that they have to go, you know, elsewhere to get their money to live. Mm-hmm. And they make millions overseas. So
here it's going to come down to the fans. It's going to come down to us getting into the stadiums, going to see the games, watching them on TV, talking about them, tweeting about them, treating them like they are professional athletes. Because so many times we just glaze over the women's leagues. And the W is serious now. We can't do that anymore. It's been serious for a long time. But at this point, it's kind of just in your face at all times. And we have to, as a society, we owe it to them to back them up and treat them with the same type of revere that we do for the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We just got I've gotten several push alerts, and then we got a call about that too. I think Jeff called it in. IMPD, the DOJ is going to be investigating IMPD's police shootings. Yeah.
This could get sticky.
It could get ugly. I'm trying to get, you know, we're here upstairs and the internet doesn't want to work as well. I'm trying to, you know, I'm seeing the headlines, but it's not giving me the details. But, you know, we had the shooting of especially with the two that were questionable regarding the folks who were in a mental health crisis. And, you know, the one that was, you know, fleeing the police officer, the one that was shot out of the tree, the one that was shot with the machete. I mean, you know, there's a DOJ investigation. So let me see. Here's the top news. Well, why doesn't it give? So anyway, it's
okay.
IMPD is. Are you getting it on yours?
Yeah, saying that the goal of the partnership is to improve safety for both our officers and community. According to the DOJ, the request for the review came from the new IMPD chief, Chris Bailey, and is in conjunction with the National Policing Institute. So it looks like Chief Bailey is looking for the help and it's more of a partnership as opposed to a investigation itself.
Okay, so yeah, you know what? To review IMPD officer-involved shootings. Okay, so that's Rico. Well, that's a little different. That's a little different than just, you know, unsolicited. So, but, well, good. Chief Bailey is asking for accountability, and that's good to hear. Good
yeah,
to know.
That's actually a very reassuring move, at least. You know, it shows some type of care.
It does.
To the situation for you to reach out for the help to try to figure out what's going on in your community.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And speaking of our community, a community-wide celebration, this Saturday on the Circle, we just need 573 people, but there'll be more. There'll be more than that.
Yeah.
For the Soul Train line. I know maybe 572 because I know you're already there. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm there.
You're already there.
I'm there.
I'm sorry, 537.
That's all right. 573 works too.
573
we'll
works
set the bar
too.
A little
indeed,
higher.
Indeed. So here we go. Okay, remember all last week, and again, we're going to open up the lines the remainder of the show, 317 972 3008. 317-972-3008. Okay, last week, the torrential rains. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained and rained, right? Mm-hmm. Well, today, and yesterday, actually. Yesterday was a preview. Today, they're saying that they're out. And I'm going to read this. As a reminder, Indy DPW crews are continuing the pothole blitz this morning to address the road issues that resulted from last week's above average influx of rainfall. We're still asking for residents to report potholes that have formed by contacting the Mayor's Action Center. That number, 317-327-4622. Again, 317-327-4622, or by using the Request Indy app. The locations or crews are conducting maintenance. They're being forced to do maintenance work through major thoroughfares. So please be, please be kind. But mm-hmm. Bottom line is another. Yeah, you know, if it's not a temperature extreme, it was an influx of rain, just rain.
Yeah.
So I guess the rain has loosened some of the repairs that have already been made. So in some instances with potholes, they're right back to square one. But they're out today. They were out this morning. Wow. Over 100,000 potholes. We did find that out in one of our one of our conversations. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was a never-ending job with those roads.
Never-ending job. But the pothole blitz is on. So if you see the crews out there, give them room. Let them work. Mm-hmm. But with more rain expected, tonight's work or today's work, this morning's work may be undone if we get, more torrential rain. So we'll see. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. William, go ahead. How are you? William, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about Caitlin Clark.
Uh-huh.
I said it's a white supremacist thing. Caitlin Clark had nothing to do with that. She's a good player. She can play the dudes to get there. And one thing about the white supremacy, they try to keep the white above all the time in basketball and boxing and everything. They always try to put the white person's part. But Caitlin played her part to get there, so they need to leave her alone and let her go on to play.
Yeah, that's what we all say, now that, and the preseason is over, the draft is over, all of the hype and the talk and the analysis and all these other things, those are all over. My question today was, yeah, it existed, and probably there's some parts of it, not all, but there's some parts of it that are real. But in the end, we here as Hoosiers, in the Hoosier State, we have a choice to make, either play ball and get in line or keep, drawing the attention to what is perceived and maybe even sometimes real, inequities in terms of coverage. But does it matter right now or is it mattering? Yeah, yeah.
And one more thing, I must say, one of the biggest flaws in my, they made Jerry West the logo of NBA, and how he get it over Oscar Robertson, I don't know, because Oscar Robertson was everything. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Yeah, Jerry West is the logo. He remains
Mr. Clutch.
Mr. Clutch. He remains
that. Worst finals record ever.
He had the best finals record ever.
No, the worst finals
record. Oh, worst finals record. Okay, I was going to say.
Jerry was not a winner in the finals.
Oh, okay. 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 So anyway, but back to the potholes. You are asked to continue to report them to the Mayor's Action Center. I'm going to give you that number again. I can't tell you how many I've reported just from listening to callers call in where potholes were. And, whether you guys know it or not, whenever I get a call in about a pothole, I call it in. I call it in for you or I call it in on behalf of you. I do call it in. But the Mayor's Action Center number, if you want to do it on your own, 317-327-4622. Again, 317-327-4622. The crews have been unbelievably, good in terms of attention to detail. I don't know. I got to get somebody in here. I don't know what the material is that they're using that would have been so loosened up by heavy rain last week, because they're pointing in this, and DPW is pointing to, the average, you know, an influx of rainfall is what those were their words exactly, an influx of rainfall, above average influx of rainfall. That's the issues that have resulted in problems. And so I think today it looks like they were at 86th Street, 200 east of 8400 west, all up and down 86th Street, Allisonville Road, north and south. So 4400 to 8200 north. And Edgewood Avenue, 2800 to 10600 east. So these were three of the areas that they hit pretty hard this morning. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So pothole blitz.
Got to get to it. Got to get to it. Happy that they're getting to it, though. I like the phrase of pothole blitz after All-Star Weekend. That makes me smile a little bit.
It doesn't?
Yeah. It makes me feel like they're working extra hard.
They are. They are. And I saw some recent repairs. You can tell because, you know, you can just tell the fresh fill, so to speak. But it's not it really is kind of loose. It's not going to last. It's just not going to last in there. We got to do better with the potholes. I keep saying that at some point in time, somebody is going to be smart and wise and figure it out. And they're going to run for something in Indianapolis, mayor, council, whatever, you know, they're going to run and they are going to make their platform potholes. And guess what? They will probably win because if they've got a pothole master plan, they just might win. They might. I don't know. I keep saying that. So,
it's a tough battle.
It's a tough battle, but somebody's got to wage it. You know, somebody's got to fight it. Josephine, go ahead. How are you?
I just have a comment. Mm-hmm. I come from Whitestown around 865. I think that's it.
Okay.
And get on Michigan Road to come to Indianapolis. Michigan Road. When you're in Carmel, it's just as smooth as it can be. Then it says, welcome to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And you go on Michigan Road, and there's every crack, every hole, everything from 465 to 86th Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks horrible. When are they going to pay that over so when people come into Indianapolis and say, oh, well, this is not a bad road. I mean, the introduction in the Indianapolis, it just looks horrible.
You know, Josephine, I think if they could, they would. But we talk about this often. There's an uneven funding formula in place that simply doesn't allow Indianapolis enough money, enough funding to be able to keep up. And part of the reason that Carmel and some of the others are able to do so well is that they don't have to pay for people coming in and out of Indianapolis, their taxes. So they have fewer people on the road, fewer cars, fewer population. So they, of course, they're going to look better. And they get just as much money, if not more, than Indianapolis does. So Indianapolis has to do a lot with a little. That being said, are we doing the best we can do? I don't know. I think so, but until we can get some lawmakers in place and lawmakers down there at the state house, they need to go. Some of them need to go. They need to go about these guns. They need to go about the uneven funding, the roads and highway funding. They need to go. They need to go.
And to piggyback off of that as well, I believe that an interchange that you're speaking on is actually lined up to be the next to be completely revamped as they are doing the 69 exchange over by Benford Boulevard.
Oh, yeah?
So they're going to be completely revamping that entire exchange over by 86 and 465 going into, or 865 going to Whitestown. That entire thing is about to change. So that may be why they're pushing that back.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, thank you. And I understand her frustration. Dion talks about it. He says when you when you cross that line, it's like you go into the promised land, you know, because it's just there's just no comparison. And you know what? I think that clearly explains it all. Of course, there's no comparison to the money that they get as opposed to the money that Marion County gets, and so on and so forth, and also underscores the need for a commuter tax for all of these businesses, folks that are coming in and out of Marion County from all of the donut counties and surrounding counties, but their taxes go to their counties. Their, you know, but Marion County taxpayers have to pay for the roads that they use. So there you go. Thomas, go ahead and talk about potholes.
Yes, Tina, you know, they're filling these potholes, and when they fill them, there's nothing to hold that concrete, just maybe the round, you know, area where it drops on, gets on the sides. And when the cars run through and big trucks and buses and water get down in there, they come right out. They don't last. There's a lot of money spent for basically nothing.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. So, Thomas, how would you solve it?
The only way to solve it is to repave the whole street and road.
And how do you pay for it? How would you solve paying?
Good question. You know, they've talked about the cost to get for traveling in and out of the state, just like going through any other state that has a toll.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we should do the
on the people.
Huh?
I say that puts a lot on the people to do that, as it is right now. You know, there's some people they're just barely getting by, but something's got to be done, because I'm wasting money. Look how it hasn't been very long since they fill some of these holes.
It hasn't. Right around All-Star Weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Right around All-Star Weekend, because that was, you know, that, remember we had that real, real warm streak, and then all of a sudden the temperatures dropped and we got that snowstorm and everything, and then, you know, the temperatures rose again. So they were trying to clean it up for our visitors. They were trying to clean it up after our visitors, and I think they were starting to catch up. But then, you know, here we go with an unexpected weather thing. So it's just not. You know, I wish there were an easier solution, but there's just not. There's just not one.
There isn't. And you know, and like you said, I don't know how many millions of dollars it would take to repave all of these streets, but it would be outrageous. Something would have to be done.
It would be more. I think there were those who estimated and talked to us and guessed. It would be more than $1 billion.
Yes,
to redo more than a billion.
No doubt it at all.
Yeah, to redo every street. And that's a modest estimate, because they were saying that there's some other cost that would put it well over even a billion. But that's just to get started. That's just to get started. So I don't know. But it's frustrated. I just saw what I call a minefield yesterday or day before. I don't know. It wasn't fun navigating it. I have to tell you that.
I know, and a lot of people have it, and a lot of times at night, you don't see those holes. You're driving the speed limit, and boom, 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 and you pop right through front end and rear. I've seen a lot of tires that were burst because of those. And I remember a year and a half ago. Well, I would say last winter. Let's put it that way, because it's been longer than a year. Where the streets cars were going, and it was not very far from where we lived. Three or four times a day, people were going through there and popping their tires.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that on your tire, on your car?
Thank God I haven't.
Oh, well, it's not. It doesn't feel good.
I have been around people, you know, driving, and have seen it happen. And it's just, I try to keep my eyes open to know where the potholes are, and either slow down or try to get around it some way.
Yeah, but you're right, though, when it's dark, and if you happen to be in an area where the street lights are scarce, you can't defend yourself. You know,
exactly.
There's no way you're going to know. No way at all. But, you know, maybe there is some kind of creative financing answer that none of us have thought about or nobody's thought about. Maybe there's something like that that's out there. But
yeah, something is going to have to be done. And hopefully it won't put too much of a burden on all the citizens that some just can't afford to pay extra for these type things, but somehow it's got to be done.
Well, yeah, it's either that or let them all turn into big sinkholes.
And you know, some of the automobiles that people have run over these potholes where they were filled, that is, they haven't received any kind of recovery for you know, bursting the tires.
Yeah, it's hard to get recovery for that.
And there's two sides to this story, too. You know, it's something that you just can't pay everybody. But what we all have to do is try to be as careful as possible, because we know all these potholes are out here. So we just got to take our time and do the best we possibly can and drive. And I know I do, and that's thank God that's why I haven't. I'm sure haven't had some of my tires pop too, because it can't happen. It's not very hard, and especially not everybody in Indianapolis or Indiana drive like this to 500 mile racetracks out here. And when you hit it at a fast speed, you can bet that somewhere along the line somebody's going to get this tire, especially when the tires aren't very good.
Yeah, it's a dilemma for sure, an ongoing year-round dilemma. Yeah, year-round dilemma. Life in Indianapolis, Indiana. So.
Yeah.
And the roads. All righty. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. And so, have you ever had a tire blow because of a pothole, AJ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
100%.
I hate that when that happens.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun time.
No, you know. Never is. It's expensive time, I tell you.
Yeah.
Quick follow-up to a topic we talked about yesterday that we were talking about gun violence and how horrible it had been over the weekend, including the three that were shot in that apartment at 46th and Post. News came this morning that police have arrested a 24-year-old man in connection with that triple murder. He's been arrested, taken into custody, charged with murder. There was no other word about it, but
At least they found the person. Hopefully that is the person responsible, and hopefully the justice system takes care of it.
Indeed. Let us hope so. That's good. I mean, the person isn't. Hopefully, there's nobody else responsible and that's walking around that's a threat to society. But there's a whole bunch of others that we need the community's help with, and law enforcement's help with to get some. Get some arrest in there, so you know we'll keep it moving, I guess. Keep it moving. So all in all, last night AJ, I watched as much as I could. I'm trying to think of when I stopped watching shortly after the Pacers, my goodness. The Fever's second pick. Uh-huh. Shortly after the Fever's second pick, I stopped watching after Celeste Taylor was picked. I stopped watching, but I think we're gonna see something here. Yeah. I think we got it. I think we got something.
I think so too. I watched it down until Angel got picked. When Angel got picked, I got a little excited. the hometown boy in me. I'm still a kid from Chicago. So.
Did she win it last night with her outfit, or did she win? I don't know.
I don't know. She looked elegant.
Yes. Elegant.
I got a little excited, and the group chat got hot, and we were sending text messages back and forth. We got Camilla and Angel.
Yeah.
We're going to the chip. We're going to win.
Yeah, that's right. You're from Chicago, so going to the chip.
We're a little excited, too. I think we're a little overzealous, but that's okay.
That's if both can make the transition and hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I know Cardoso, again, not meaning to sound prejudicial, but coming from that program, she does. And you know, Angel's program is no slouch either. I mean, you got Kim Mulkey. So they both should be ready to go.
They should be ready to go. It's just going to be a bit of a curve. We've already got two bigs, two very good bigs, Elizabeth Williams and the other name is escaping me. But it's going to be a bit of a – bit of a battle for power. I think Angel might be the one that has to end up switching position because she's better with ball control.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Camilla is taller.
So. Do you think one of them might be traded?
I don't think one of them two, no. I think the city is too excited for those two in particular.
If to be anything, there.
We may trade one of the vets. Yeah. But we lost Kalia Cooper last year, and I don't think that I don't think we're going to trade any more vets before we get somebody to fill those big shoes that we lost.
How did the Chicago Sky do last year?
They were pretty bad.
But yeah. They had to be to get those two. Yeah. Just like the Fever, they had to be pretty bad to get to get who you got. So, I've seen it turn around
in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, the blink of an eye. So, just wanted to remind everyone, because we certainly want, we don't want to leave anybody out. You know, this is a party we want everybody to be invited to. Mm-hmm. This Saturday right here outside our studios, right here, 40 Monument Circle, starting at noon sharp. We, the Indianapolis stations of Radio 1, are inviting you to come down to the circle and help us celebrate the life and legacy of the late Jerry the Lover Man Wade. As you know, Jerry was a huge personality for more than 35 years on our sister station, WTLC-FM. The Lover Man, The Quiet Storm, that show, and all of the other wonderful things that Jerry did in the community. It's just fitting. As you know, he passed away earlier this year, and again, was one of our most enduring and popular DJs ever. So this Saturday is a chance for everyone to say thank you. Dion, our general manager and regional VP, Dion Levingston, explained that, Jerry passed in January, and everybody was wondering, well, are you going to do something? Can we say goodbye? You know, we waited until it was appropriate, and appropriateness, first and foremost with Jerry's family. And so, there was that, but we think that it's going to be a really nice affair. We think it's going to be really nice event, food trucks, fun, just what he probably would have wanted, So, a celebration. You can also have an opportunity to be a part of the world's largest Soul Train line. That is in nothing but Jerry Wade fashion. The world's largest Soul Train line. The number, 537 people. The current record is 536. We need 537 to beat the record. So come on down, help us. Join us. Everybody is welcome. We're planning to have a good time and a great celebration. Again, that's this Saturday, April 20th at noon, a celebration of Jerry Wade, community-wide celebration for Jerry Wade. Everybody in the community, everybody is invited right here, 40 Monument Circle. Our website, praiseindy.com. Willie Moore Jr. on the radio is up next. That's all the time we have for our show for right now. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. As always, until then, please make sure you stay safe and be well. I'm Tina Cosby, and this is Community Connection.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.